it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." It's the words especially that the Lord called Samuel. We sang a few minutes ago those lovely words, the hymn writer, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling." And that would be our burden, our prayer, men and women, for the service tonight, that the Lord might do that in our midst, that softly, tenderly, powerfully, savingly, the Lord might call men and women in this gathering to himself. I want us to think for a few minutes this evening of the subject of the call of Samuel, and especially what we have here in this chapter, not so much the call of Samuel to be a prophet in the land, but this is the call of Samuel to salvation. Remember the miracle birth that this child had. His mother, Hannah, was barren. She was a godly woman. She was a mother in Israel. What an example of prayer that she is to us all. She prayed earnestly that the Lord would give her a child, and more specifically, she prayed that the Lord would give her a son. The whole story recorded in the previous chapters, 1 and 2 of this book, is an illustration of how God answers prayer, earnest, persistent prayer, how God powerfully can answer the prayers of his people. So I want you to be encouraged tonight. We emphasize prayer the last couple of Sabbath mornings. And brethren and sisters, we ought not to be weary. We ought not to be discouraged as we read the great examples, the great stories, the lives of the great prayer warriors of Scripture. There's one thing for all of us: we should be encouraged to keep on and crying on to the Lord at the throne of grace. So in answer to Hannah's prayers, God gave her a son. And then in return, and just think of that, Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord. She had made a vow, earnestly made a vow when she had prayed that the Lord would answer her cries, and she vowed she would give that son, that she would dedicate him, she would lend him to the Lord as long as he lived, and she paid her vow. The scriptures say it's better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Maybe there's a vow that you made to the Lord, maybe some time ago, and you know in your heart of hearts you've never kept it. You've never made or never fulfilled that vow. Maybe at times the Lord challenges you, speaks to you about it. Maybe that's one of the reasons why you're troubled, why there's no peace in your heart and in your life. At this stage, when we come to 1 Samuel 3, Samuel the boy now lives and works in Shiloh. That was the place of worship, the place of sacrifice in those days. Shiloh is part of Israel, it belonged to the tribe of Ephraim, just a little up to the north from the capital city of Jerusalem. And remember that he's living and he's working in the tabernacle. It's actually described there in the chapter as the temple. In verse 3 it says there, "The lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Just let me give you an explanation for that. It is the tabernacle. It's exactly the same tabernacle that was built in the days of Moses in the wilderness. One of the reasons why it's described here as the temple is because it had taken on a more permanent structure. Remember that in the wilderness it moved. That's why it was called the tabernacle. It moved as the children of Israel moved, but now they're in the land. There's no need for it to move as it had done in previous times. So they had given it more permanency. There was more permanent facilities and structures there at Shiloh, and that's the reason why it's described in this chapter as the temple. The actual temple that was designed and built by Solomon, that is still some time off in the future. Eli is the high priest. He's an old man. The next chapter tells us he was 98 years of age, almost 100, and he had judged Israel for 40 years. So he had been the spiritual leader of the nation for all of that time, from he was 58 years of age. And young Samuel, well, he was Eli's minister. He was the attendant of the high priest. In a sense, he was the apprentice. He was serving his time there in the tabernacle at that particular time. And one night, men and women, one night unexpectedly, something remarkable happened at Shiloh. It was a night to be remembered in young Samuel's life for the rest of his days. It was a night never to be forgotten. And we pray that that might be the experience of some person in our gospel service this evening, that this 22nd day of September 2019 for you will be a night to be remembered as long as ever you live, because it will be the night that you come to Christ in salvation. What happened was that Eli was in bed. The old man had retired for the night, weary and worn, no doubt, from the labours of the day. You think of all the responsibilities, the demands that those would have upon him at 98 years of age. The passage says that in addition to that, his eyesight was failing, his eyes were growing dim. So Eli was in bed, and the young lad Samuel, he was just about to lie down. He was just getting into bed himself. And then suddenly, a voice was heard. There was a call. A voice cried out in the darkness, and it called this young lad by name, Samuel, Samuel. Think of the repetitions. That's an interesting study in the Bible. God speaks once, yea, twice. He repeated the lad's name just so that he wouldn't miss it. And what happened was that Samuel thought it was Eli. He thought it was the old man. He thought it was his voice, maybe because of the distance between them, where they were lying down, maybe because of the night time and the fact that he was a little tired, a little weary himself. But he thought it was the old man. He thought the old man was in need. He thought that the old man was in trouble. And isn't it interesting just how swiftly he ran to help? Not a word of complaint. Even when he had to run three times, he went back and forth. There's never a record in the passage of a word of complaint. He ran to help the old man, but he found that Eli hadn't called. It wasn't Eli's voice that he heard that night. He went back to bed, just settling down the second time, and again he heard the call. His name called out in the darkness. And the third time, the same thing happened. And it was only after the third time, that's why I said in the reading tonight, it's sad that it took old Eli all of that time to discern just what was happening. It's maybe an indication just of his spiritual condition at that particular time. But after the third call, Eli realized, he perceived, he discerned it was the Lord. God was speaking. Maybe it had been so long, men and women, for old Eli, since last he had heard the voice of God. It's not an interesting thing for all of us to consider tonight. Every Christian in the meeting, we can go through the routine, we can come to meetings, we can sit down with the Bible in our hands every day. But here's the test, men and women. Here's the test of your walk with God, your spirituality, your closeness to the Lord. When last did you actually hear the voice of God? When was the last time that you could say for sure that the Lord actually spoke to you in your quiet time, or spoke to you through one of the meetings and the preaching of his precious word? But old Eli realized it's the Lord that's speaking. So he instructed Samuel to go and lie down, and he told him how to answer. He says, if the Lord calls you again, then this is how you're to respond. And what happened, men and women, was that night, God spoke to this lad. God called Samuel. God called him in a very definite manner. God called that lad in a life-changing fashion. What we have in this chapter is the call of God to Samuel in salvation. And there's some very important points about that call I want to emphasize to you tonight. And can I say to all in the meeting this evening that are engaged in children's work, whether it be in the bright hours, the children's meetings, the Sunday school, the Bible classes, the youth group, the youth fellowship, there's great encouragement for you here. This is what the Lord is doing through your work. This is what the Lord is doing through your meetings through your ministry, he's speaking and he's calling young people to himself in salvation. We have an illustration here, a very clear illustration here in this passage of the call of the gospel to the life and to the heart of an individual, and especially remember his age, and we'll emphasize that a little more just as we go on. I want you to see, as we think of the call, I want you to notice that Samuel was called divinely. Verse 4, our text, it says, the Lord, don't miss it. It's maybe important to emphasize it. You should maybe underline it. The Lord called Samuel. So I want you to see that the call that Samuel heard that night in the darkness, it was divine. The call was of God. The call was from above. Here, men and women, is something wonderful, something out of the ordinary, something supernatural. And this is what we should be praying for in all of our gospel services. So it was God's voice that spoke. It was God that called Samuel. God that spoke and called this young lad. But Samuel made a mistake that night. He thought it was man that was calling and man that was speaking. He thought it was Eli. He thought it was the servant of the Lord. He didn't realize it was the Lord himself. He thought it was the actual servant of the Lord that was speaking to him. And isn't it true, men and women, that in gospel meetings such as this, that very same mistake is made? And that very same mistake is made many times over and over. People sit in meetings like this and they hear the message and they think it's the preacher that's speaking to them. They think it's the preacher that's calling them. Maybe that's what you think this evening as you sit in this gospel service. If it is, let me emphasize to you how wrong, how very wrong you are. Many people have said, who told the preacher about me? The message was so relevant. The message just smote them so strongly in the heart. It was so pointed, so relevant for their circumstances. They thought somebody must have called the preacher aside beforehand and told them all the details of their life. Maybe you have thought that. Who told the preacher about me? I remember reading the story of a soldier who was invited along at the last minute to a church service on one occasion. And the message was tailor-made for his life and circumstances. And he thought the same thing. The preacher must have been told. He must have been informed beforehand about me to preach that message, especially because I was in the service. And he said that to the preacher on the way out. Who told you all about me? So the preacher took him into the minister's room and he showed him a plan he had on the wall. He had all his Bible studies, all his messages planned out for weeks ahead. And he showed him that the message that he had preached that morning, that he had decided to prepare and preach that message sometime in advance. So nobody had told the preacher about him. Maybe you think that tonight. Remember this, men and women. It's God that knows. There's nothing hidden. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him we have to do. God knows your needs. God knows your circumstances. And he guides the preacher. He guides the Sunday school teacher, the children's meeting worker, the youth leader, and so on. So I want you to see it's God that's calling. God is speaking. If you're troubled tonight, if you know in this meeting that you've been spoken to, I want you to understand whose voice it is. It's God that's calling. It's his voice that you hear, being absolutely no doubt about that. It's important to notice in the context of the chapter that God uses men. God uses men and women. He did that here, men and women. He used Eli, the old man, the end of his days, 98 years of age. However, or whatever his state of heart might have been, we have emphasized already that he may not just have been as close to the Lord as he ought to be, but the fact is the Lord used old Eli. And remember that God could have said to Samuel himself that night, it's me, when Samuel didn't realize who was speaking. Well, God could have spoken directly to Samuel and said, Samuel, it's me, it's the Lord that's speaking to you. The Lord could have sent a messenger. Remember, that's the meaning of the word angel. The Lord could have sent an angel to explain to Samuel what was happening that night, but he didn't. He used a man. He used old Eli. So I want you to see, men and women, this is God's way. God uses men and women. That's why we hold meetings. That's why we preach the gospel. It pleases God. This is something that's pleasing to the Lord. It pleases the Lord by the foolishness of preaching, through a preacher standing, proclaiming his word. This is his ordained means of reaching the lost for Christ. We spoke a little last Sabbath night about election. He has ordained those that will be saved. But remember that in that context, he has ordained the means by which they will be saved as well. The chief means are prayer and preaching. So God uses men and women. God uses instruments. But the call of the gospel is the Lord's. He's the one that's speaking through those instruments. The one who is speaking to you tonight is the Lord himself. How that should solemnize and humble our hearts as we're gathered in this meeting. It's not man's voice, it's the voice of God. The Lord, men and women, can impress that upon your heart tonight. It's the Lord that's calling you tonight to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. So Samuel was called divinely. I want you to see as well he was called personally. In verse 10 it says, Samuel, Samuel. There's the actual wording of the call. The call was personal. The Lord spoke the boy's name. And what could be more personal than that? Isn't that why it's always nice to know people's names? We should all make it our business to know the names of the people in the congregation, the people that visit the meetings. What a personal welcome that gives. What could be more personal here than the Lord speaking this lad's name? And men and women, I want to stress to you tonight that the gospel call is personal. The gospel call is made to individuals. God can and he does call many to himself. And often when he calls many to himself, he does it at the same time. He does it in exactly the same meeting. That's what happened in Pentecost, the great day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls saved through the preaching of Peter's message. But remember that all of those 3,000, and in all instances similar to that, the call is a personal one. They're all called personally. It's a personal call to salvation. We believe the Bible teaches what we describe as household salvation. Hold on to that tonight, brethren and sisters. If you've still a loved one, family member, a child out of Christ and far away from God, remember that the family can be saved. The Lord has pledged it. And as it was in the case of the Philippian jailer, the whole family was saved in the one night. He believed in the Lord, the scriptures tell us, with all his house. But remember this, men and women, they too were all called personally. I want to emphasize to you tonight, God calls people to himself individually, in a personal manner. Isaiah, that lovely 43rd chapter, when thou passest through the waters and so on, he puts it very clearly for us. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. Isn't that lovely truth for every believer in the meeting tonight to know? The night that you were saved, that's exactly what happened. You maybe didn't realize it. At the time, we don't fully understand the night that we come to Christ, and the day we come to Christ, all that was involved in that. But he called you. There's the divine call again. I have called thee, and he called you by your name. So unsaved person in this service tonight, that's what the Lord's doing. He's calling you. He's actually calling your name. He's calling your name personally in this service this evening. Can you hear him? Can you hear his voice speaking to you? You say, no, that could never be. God would never call me. I'm too bad a person. I'm too great a sinner to be called. I want you to know tonight, men and women, that is not so. Remember that it's actually sinners that God calls. It's sinners that the call of the gospel is extended to. The Savior said that when he was here on earth. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you tonight will take the sinner's place, If you'll acknowledge that you're a sinner, I want you to know that God is calling you. God calls sinners. And the Bible teaches that he calls the worst of sinners. Think of how Paul described himself in his unconverted state. He said he was the chief of sinners. Imagine that, the chief. You can't get any bigger, any greater. But on the Damascus Road, he met Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus do when Paul was on his face in the dust on the Damascus Road? He called him. And he called him personally. He called him by his name. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So I want you to know tonight, men and women, regardless of how bad you are, how bad you think your life is, God is calling you personally to himself to receive Jesus Christ and his so great salvation. I want you to notice in the third thing, as we think of the call that was extended to Samuel, it was a divine call, a personal call, but it was also an early call. We're not thinking of early in the day. We're not thinking of early in the evening or early in the night. And that may have been the case because, remember, he was just laying down to sleep. What I want to emphasize to you is that the call that came to Samuel, it came early in life. Notice that first verse again that we stressed in the reading. It says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So Samuel's only a child. That's how the Bible speaks of him, describes him. He's only a child at this stage of life. He's young in age. He's at very early days, a very early stage of his life. He's not yet a man. He's not yet an adult. In fact, we could say he's not even yet an adolescent. It's believed Samuel was only 12 years of age, just around that stage when Jewish young men had their bar mitzvah, that Jewish ceremony where they pass from childhood into adulthood or adolescence. But the Lord called them early in life, men and women. And what an encouragement. What an encouragement to every parent here in the service as you faithfully teach your children the Word of God. What an encouragement to every grandparent, the blessing of the grandchildren, the time that is with you, and you seek to teach them the gospel message. What an encouragement. God can call children early in life. Remember the warning. It says that we're not to offend one of these little ones that believe in me. The Lord issues a solemn warning. We're not to do anything that will offend them or hinder them or discourage them in the things of God. And what an encouragement there is here as well to every children's worker, every Sunday school teacher, every Bible class teacher, every youth worker. What an encouragement there is. God speaks to children. God speaks to young people. Isn't it true that many have been saved as a child? Many of you in the meeting tonight, you can look back, came to Christ in your childhood. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, he was converted at 11. Jonathan Edwards, probably the greatest theologian North America ever produced, converted at 7 years of age. Think of Edward VI, the boy king. He died when he was just 15 years of age, but he knew the Lord when he came to the throne some 6 years before. Those are just a few examples, but they're very prominent examples of the fact that God speaks to, God calls children to himself in salvation. I want you to know tonight, men and women, it's a mistake, and it's a very serious mistake to think that God only calls adults to himself. It's a mistake to think that a child is too young to hear and to respond to the message of the gospel. I want to urge you all tonight, you bring your children to the gospel meeting. How important that is. Bring them out on the Sabbath night to hear the gospel being preached. There's great encouragement for that. Bring your children and your grandchildren out to the house of God as you think of the fact that even in those early years, sitting in meetings like this, that God's word can touch and speak to their heart. The fact is that the youngest here, God is calling. Is that what happened? Samuel, just a lad. God called him. So there's encouragement to the very youngest here in the service tonight that God is calling that little one to himself in salvation. But isn't it sad to think, for some that are much older in this meeting, that God first called you when you were a child, when you were in Sunday school, the children's meeting, gospel services like this. God first called you away back at the beginning of your life, those many years ago, but you're still not saved. Even after God being so good and merciful, after all the time that has passed, maybe that's true of some in the service tonight, does not emphasize, men and women, the urgency to be saved now, the urgency to be saved today, while you still can, while the door of salvation is still open, while you still have opportunity to come to Christ in salvation. So God called him early. I want you to see as well that God called Samuel repeatedly. God called this young lad over and over and over again. He called him 3 times before Samuel actually knew what was happening that night. And then he called him a 4th time before the lad actually responded to the Lord in salvation. So I want you to see, God calls repeatedly. And isn't it a mercy, men and women, to see that God called repeatedly in one night, one evening, one short period of time? The lesson from that is how patient God is, men and women. How merciful. How long-suffering. Peter said that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You think of this tonight. What if God just called you once to himself in salvation? Where would you be? If that had been the case, if only once you'd heard the gospel invitation, only once you'd heard the gospel message, the answer for many of us is we'd be lost. We'd be in hell forevermore. But think of God's mercy. Here's an example of God's mercy. He spoke. He called. He pleaded. He invited this lad again and again and again to himself. And how we find that in many places in the scriptures. That great verse, Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Often reproved, often spoken to, often challenged about your sinfulness and your waywardness. Is that true of some in this service tonight? Think of a New Testament example, the words of Christ standing looking over the city of Jerusalem, and he said, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood? How often? God speaks often. God speaks many times in his mercy to those that are still out of Christ. And as you sit in this meeting tonight, you know that to be true. You know that for a fact. And remember that God doesn't just speak through words. We dealt with that a couple of Sabbath evenings ago when we dealt with that theme, or considered that theme of God speaking to the nation. God doesn't just speak through words. That is the Lord's primary way of speaking. He speaks through the Bible, speaks through his infallible scriptures. He speaks through the gospel preacher. But the Lord also speaks through circumstances, through death, serious illness, an accident that takes place. Maybe not necessarily to you, but to a family member, to a friend, to a neighbor. You see, God calls in many ways, and God speaks in many ways, and he calls at many times. Is that true of one here in the service tonight? And the reality is this, men and women, as you sit in this meeting, there's not a doubt about this fact. The reality this evening is God's calling again. God's voice is heard in this meeting. But remember that as you sit here, we can sense his presence. We can hear his voice. And I want to urge those in the meeting that still can't say it's well with your soul, don't turn a deaf ear to the voice of God tonight. Don't turn a deaf ear to his call. There is such a thing, men and women, as God's final call. The last time that God will speak. The last time he'll call you. The last time that he'll invite you to himself. The hymn writer said, someday you'll hear God's final call to you. And I want you to think very carefully, very solemnly, What if that day were today? What if that time were now in this service tonight? That means you need to flee to Christ while you still have an opportunity. One other thing we'll notice just quickly, that the Lord called Samuel savingly. That verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I emphasized it to you in the reading. He was instructed to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," but he just replied, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Before this night, Samuel wasn't saved. Samuel wasn't converted. It couldn't be clearer, men and women. He did not yet know the Lord. I want you to ponder those words. Let them sink down into your heart tonight. Maybe there's children in your family, in your family circle, children in your Sunday school class, children in your bright hour meeting, in your youth group, your youth fellowship. And those words sum up very clearly their spiritual condition. They don't yet know the Lord. But that should cause us concern, men and women. We should never ever get used to people, let alone children, in that condition. This is the night that we're reading off here, this night to be remembered. The reason it's a night to be remembered and never to be forgotten is this is the night that Samuel got saved. This is an account of his testimony that God has written by his Spirit into the book. This was the night that Samuel trusted Christ. And what a night it was. It was undoubtedly the greatest night of his life. You know the hymn, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. When I went to martyrs, Dr. Paisley taught us to sing the chorus sometimes, happy night. Many people got saved at night. So it was with Samuel. So Samuel could have sung those words. Happy night, when Jesus washed my black heart white. And you know the wonder, men and women, is it could be the same for you. It could be the same for you tonight. This evening could be the greatest night in your life if you would receive Christ. It'll be the greatest night in your life if it's the night of your salvation, the night that you put your trust wholly in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of all your sins. I want to urge you, as we come near a close tonight, yield to the call. Yield tonight to the call of God, the call of the gospel. Respond positively tonight in this gospel service to God's voice as he speaks again in mercy to your heart. Respond in this gospel service tonight by faith and repentance, by turning from your sins and putting your trust completely in Jesus Christ for salvation. You think of the words of our text. It says, the Lord called Samuel. You put your own name in there, whoever you are in the service, especially if you're out of Christ. The Lord called. That's what the Lord's doing. You put your name in there. The Lord's calling. And he's calling you. He's calling you repeatedly, calling you again in mercy in this service this evening. And I put the challenge to you just as I close. What answer will you give? What response will you make, men and women? What response will you give to the call of the gospel in this gospel service this evening? Our prayer, our cry, our burden is that you will respond by receiving and embracing Jesus Christ as the only Savior, as he's freely offered to you in the gospel. The Lord called Samuel. We pray that he'll do the same thing in our meeting tonight. 242.